RDT Systems, the Wrap 1400 or 1400 if you like doing it that way, but it's the Wrap 1400. It's a collar that is super reliable, ready to rock, and it's super handy because you can hold it in your hand while you're shooting your shotgun during duck season. So it's a cool unit for you and your dog come hunting season so that you've got control over any situation. Anything the dog throws at you during the hunt is right there, easy and accessible. Bingo, bango, bongo. If you don't want that one, check out the H2O 1820. It's the DT Systems and it's dog tested, dog tough. Gunner Kennels, baby. Hashtag man's best kennel. Well, it's also now hashtag man's best food crate. It's freaking raccoon proof. You can't get into this thing. Your dog can't bust into the lid and eat all the food. Trust me, I know Memphis has done it in the past. She looks like a blown up pumpkin. Boom. But not anymore. We've got the Gunner Kennel food crate. It's easy to pack, easy to store, keeps food dry, which food's an investment, man. That Purina, baby, it ain't cheap anymore. So keep it dry, good, all that stuff, easy to pack, easy to store. The Gunner Kennel food crate, slide into DMs if you'd like to learn more. Have you wondered if you wanted to force fetch your dog? Maybe you think your dog's too soft. Maybe you're too nervous to screw, quote unquote, screw your dog up. Let me help you. I built a start-to-finish course with different dogs, different breeds, and different personalities from start to finish to show you how that you and your dog can do it successfully and easy. Jump in. Links in the description. We'd be happy to help you. Let's go. Let's set goals and get you and your dog where you want to be this duck season.
Welcome to another episode of Lone Ducks Gun Dog Chronicles. How we doing, everybody? How you doing there, Kevin?
Ready for another good one.
My man.
Look at you all. I know. I appreciate how excited you are. This is adorable. It's like you're back from vacation. You look less crappy. You're ready to go.
I am rested and relaxed, and since I got off the plane, I have an entire to-do list that's getting checked off, including another episode of Lone Ducks Gun Dog Chronicles, episode 51.
Get you some.
Get some. Excited to be here with everybody tuning in. We've got some good questions that came through while I was on vacation in Belize, believe it or not. I was having fun in Belize. Drinking some Belican beer, which is the beer of Belize. It's probably equal to a Bud Heavy.
While you were gone, side note, this is completely irrelevant. Bud Light made a seltzer and has been blowing away all the White Claw people. Kind of exciting. I think it's exciting.
Never mind. You're into that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, it's just, hey, you weren't
around.
You
know I'm a Bush Light guy through and through. So.
That's why I'm saying they're just dominating.
Wow, good for them. I mean, Anheuser-Busch.
Long story short, it was made around the corner from where we grew up. That's what's cool about it.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Ballinsville, brewed in Ballinsville, raised around the world. And that's what we say, buddy. Around here. All right, let's do this thing. So, we'll talk about Belize here in a second, but I want to give a big old shout out to Yukonuba, one of the sponsors of our show, good friends of ours, and I'm very excited. They're taking us to SHOT Show, baby. Old Lone Duck Bob is going to SHOT Show in like a week, I guess.
Old Bob, will he make it back from Vegas?
Yes, I have to. I have no choice, but we're going to SHOT Show. I'm very excited. We're going to see a lot of friends from other worlds. My friends at Dog Tour will be there, so I'm sure I'll bounce to their booth and say hello. But I'm super excited just to be a part of it. This is my first time at SHOT Show. I'm a SHOT Show newbie, and so you could come and check us out. So thank you to Yukonuba for bringing me on for that. That'll be fun. But in the meantime, I want to give the old you can do it. Have you guys tried it yet? I want to get a little feeler out there from our podcast listeners. If you could shout us a little note, a little DM on Instagram, have you given it a try yet? Are you having a hard time finding it? I know you can get it shipped to your place via Chewy.com, so that's not an excuse to give it a try. But there's so many different formulas for the different stages of your dog's career, being puppy, adult, or if your dog's a real workhorse, get that 30-20 performance blend. Or if you've got an older dog, I'm actually thinking, I was just spur of the moment thought, I'm going to put Buck on their senior formula. They're 7 years plus.
Are you? That'll be good for him.
Well, the sucker's like 10 years old, and it's got all the right stuff. It just doesn't have as much of the, I don't know what you want to call it, but
go
like,
get it.
All the good things that the young dogs need for high performance, they backed that off a little bit and added other supplements and dietary needs for an older dog. And I'm a little embarrassed that I haven't done that switch for him to give him a little bit more of that older dog needs sooner. So I'm going to do that. So he's going to be on Uke
good
older formula for the senior dogs. So if you've not tried it yet, hey, baby, you can do it. Give it a try. Get on Chewy.com. Get to your local stores. See what formula works for you and your dog and test it out. Give it 60 to 90 days. That's the optimum time to start seeing improvement in coat, in teeth, and in their performance. So go on your Yukonuba challenge. I'm challenging you. They didn't ask me to do this. I want to hear from you. Give it 60 to 90 days and try it and tell me that you're not pleased with the difference. Okay. Second up, Gunner Kennels. These guys are super cool. If you haven't followed them on Instagram, I don't know where you've been living, but at Gunner Kennels, they just got back from Honey Break. And again, if you've been living under a rock, you know where that is. That's a super sweet place down in Louisiana. And they smashed ducks. They took his chocolate lab Gunner and tons of great pictures. And you should go and follow them on Instagram and see their storyline there, but stud products. We're really proud to have them as a podcast sponsor, and we use it all the time and promote it. If you're interested in getting into a Gunner kennel, again, you can shoot us an email or direct message, and we'll get you and your dog hooked up. And lastly is Waypoint Outdoor Collective. And you know, guys, these guys hook us up with analytics, so we can stay in tune with what we're doing well, what isn't doing well, and we're staying in touch with you. So big thank you to Waypoint Outdoor Collectives for all they do for us. And so let's get into the show.
Yeah. So you just got back. Just got off the plane.
Midnight last night.
Really?
Late flight. Last night.
Ouch.
Yeah. Is what it is. Woke up this morning, got to the grind, back at it, feeling good. So everybody, if you hadn't seen on Instagram, around this time of year, all the dogs go home for hunting season, finish up my program, obedience dogs are done, what have you, and my girlfriend and I take a trip.
She just gave you a wave.
Carrie did?
Yeah.
What's up, Carrie? Good trip.
Should have had her come talk about the trip.
Yeah, Belize, you, me. That would have been fun. So, anyways, we had a fantastic trip. There was many fun things that happened. I was in a drinking contest. I did not win. I got second place. I lost to a 50-something-year-old African-American man named Albert. And Albert smashed those beers. I was very impressed with Albert.
Albert
was a baller. Let's just say he was the sleeper.
Really?
Yeah, there was a huge fat guy that looked like he was in a frat next to me over here. So I'm thinking, this guy's, you know, guys that can like open their throat and put it down in one?
Yeah.
I figured the fat frat guy was that kid. Then I had a skinny hippie kid right here. I knew I had him beat. He sipped that beer. And then Albert, I couldn't see. Okay? I couldn't see him in my
blind spot.
Well, I mean, I'm like this, right?
Well, okay, all right.
So they put two, they're called Belican beers, and it's the beer of Belize. The only way I can equate it is like a Bud Heavy. And they were ice cold and in bottles. And normally, in my days,
I got to be honest, I did not think this was going to be a topic covered on
tonight's
show.
Happened. It's here. It's here. People want to know about
okay.
it. So
somebody said they're really proud of you.
Second
well,
place
don't be, because he lost.
Yeah, second place is the first loser to Albert, the older, like, what the heck, Albert? Sleeper is what I'm trying to.
Yeah.
He was the sleeper.
Yeah.
You didn't
come from
think. He was skinny. He was little. How did Albert beat me? Anyways, so Albert's off to my side, so I couldn't see how fast he was going. So I get my first one down, pick up my next one, and I'm like two gulps away from being done, and they start cheering for Albert. And I'm like,
God, you're a loser.
You got to be kidding me. Now, meanwhile, this guy is like sipping the beer. He hadn't even touched the second one yet. And this guy had just started his second one, and I'm two gulps away with my second. And I also, side note, we had just eaten a huge lunch, and I had already had a few cold ones. So my stomach is full.
It sounds like an excuse. Bunny Snipes just joined, so I hope Bunny gives you a hard time about losing.
Hey, Bunny knows what happens in Belize, okay? Bellican beers and other things. So, long story short, Albert, Carrie's videoing me, which I have. If I had won this, this was going all over the world. That was going to hit a million views. But Albert was pouring beers out behind his head. So when you finished your beer, you had to put it on top of your head to show that there was no foam or anything. He was putting it behind his head and spilling beer out. And Carrie was the only one that caught him cheating. So now, I did not only get beat by a 50-year-old, he also was wily in his old age.
Yeah, I respect that. That's a man who wants to win. What did Albert win?
Probably another beer. I don't know.
Well, that's worth
it. He won a few little trinkets from the bar, but long story short, I let you all down, and I 100%. I talked about it the whole day. I was very disappointed. I'm even talking about it on the podcast. I barely slept. This has been on my mind, so I'm going to get back into my shape, my Bellican beer drinking shape, so that I can go back and beat Albert. I'm going to find him and challenge him.
Well, Bunny said that it sounds like a lot of excuses, and Bunny, I agree. That's all right. But you also did some really cool fishing.
Yeah, so
tell me about your fishing trip.
So we took this tour. These guys were pretty cool guys. It was kind of like Rasta, right? Like they are sort of Caribbean. Their inland is jungly, but we were on some islands, and they were not obviously Jamaican, but you get that Rasta, Bob Marley,
yeah.
You know, feel.
That sort of vibe.
Yep. So these two guys, a little bit older than I am, worked for someone else on a fishing charter, taking people out, tour guide stuff, and quit and bought their own boat. And they started this thing called the Survivor Trip. And basically, you start off on the far side of the reef, and you deep sea fish, if you will. It wasn't like downriggers and going after tuna like you see on TV, but it was kind of like jigging with live bait that we caught with a cast net. They caught, what are those, sardines.
Yeah.
People don't like to eat sardines with a cast net in the shallows.
Crazy people eat those on pizza.
I don't know. I kind of want to start trying. I feel like you're a man if you eat sardines.
Yeah, or a nutcase, but keep going.
Grandpa Casey eats them. Exactly. My point. He's a man.
All right, that's true. Mm-hmm. All right.
Colonel of the Marines. He eats sardines. I'm going to start eating sardines.
I respect that. Keep going.
Anyways, so we catch these sardines. We fly out past the reef, and we start fishing. My first drop down, I catch a sizable barracuda. First barracuda I've ever caught.
Ever seen?
I've actually seen them before. In Bahamas, spring break, 2000.
Don't remember.
Eight?
Good life story.
Yep.
But caught the barracuda, or hooked a barracuda,
hooked
right?
A barracuda. Now, this thing was so much fun to catch. I'd be reeling it in, and then it'd yank my arm down and start spinning and taking out the drag and zzz, just flying. And, you know, it'd tire out for a second. I'd reel it back in and then take it back out. Super fun fight. And then, you know, as you're bringing it up from the deep, you see that, like, silver of the fish. And you're like, oh, all right, we got it.
Yeah.
Here it comes. And it was big. Like, I'm bragging right now because just try and give you the awe of reeling this thing in. Like, sometimes you reel in a fish that you think is big because it fought good. And it's like, ah, really? That's
it was just a normal bass.
Yeah. Like, son of a bitch. That thing was just average. No, this thing was sizable.
I mean, it's a barracuda. I just assume that all barracudas are awesome.
So I asked the guy, I'm like, so on a scale of like 1 to 10, how big is this thing? And he was like an 8. There are bigger ones, but this was a good one. So I was fired up about that. We put that in the live well for food. So anyways, the Survivor Tour, we do the quote-unquote deep sea on that side of the reef. Then we bring it in. In the meantime, we had caught a triggerfish and two red snapper. So, like,
what's a triggerfish look like?
I don't really know. It's a weird-looking fish. Almost.
It's good enough. Big fish, little fish.
Not big, not little. Yeah, I don't know. Google it, Kevin. I don't know. Okay. It looked like a triggerfish. I'd never seen one before. So then we got two red snapper. So our like lunch is done.
We're all good.
Yeah. How long were you out for?
Carrie actually started to get a little seasick because the waves were rocking out there, and she was hurting. So long story short, after maybe an hour and a half or so, she said she'd had enough. We drove in to the reef, and we started snorkeling for lobster. So the guide, you get these spears that look like tridents and a rubber band thingy on the end of them, and you draw the rubber band down and, like, release it, and it shoots that spear into the reef crack where the lobster's poking out, and you stab that lobster and, like, pull it out, and you got a lobster. It was super cool. So he catches, like, two and shows us how to do it, and, you know, you're diving down and equalizing your breath so you can stay down longer and not pop your ears, so you, like, blow out your ears, and super awesome experience, and I miss one. Now I'm like, hey, all right. Now I don't want him to show me where they are. I want to find it myself, and I want to get it myself. So I kind of swim off, and I'm trying to find my own, and I ended up getting one. Carrie ended up getting one, and he got eight. So
say that again. So you...
Well, you just left the room, so I can't say it again.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you're going to ask a question I probably already said. So you stabbed these... lobster.
That's what I was going to ask. So it wasn't like you just go down and catch it like it's a sea cucumber or something.
Right, yeah.
You got to like hunt them out.
Welcome to the party, Kevin.
That's pretty awesome.
Dude, it was sweet. Okay. I got it on the GoPro.
Really?
Yeah. You're going to be fired up to see that.
All right. We're going to have to show that somewhere.
Yeah. So anyways, I got one. Carrie got one. He got eight. So it shows you what talent and skill can do, finding them and killing them when... She and I got one to his eight.
Sure. How big were they?
Full-size lobsters. They were not like the main lobsters like we eat up here. They're Caribbean looking. I don't know. They didn't have huge claws. They're kind of white and reddish and speckled.
Really?
Yep. Really cool looking. Tasted amazing. So now go in even further, and he finds an octopus. So Carrie got to spear an octopus.
What?
Yes.
She also just chimed in on Instagram. I think that's the emoji she sent along. Was what? Ask about the octopus.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, octopus. So we get back out of the boat, jump back in, get the snorkels on, and the octopus had gotten up under this tiny little, 2-inch crack.
Well, aren't they like mice where they can kind of like shrink their body?
This thing
and get
was
through.
The size of a football in terms of its head and body and then tentacles. And it shriveled down into a 2-inch crack under where you would never even know he was. So he's, like, trying to get this thing out. It took him probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes to get this octopus out. And here she comes in with her trident spear and smokes it.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
and not surprising. Carrie's pretty badass. But what...
she's cool.
Yeah.
So, all right.
But,
so now
like,
we
was
got
it like
one
a
octopus.
Spear gun where you, like, be spear fishing? Or was it like a gig where you just kind of, like...
It's just like a gig, but it had a rubber band on it, so you would pull the rubber band tight and then slingshot it.
Okay, I got you.
So, again, while you were out of the room.
It's called a Hawaiian sling, Carrie said.
Oh, good job, Carrie. Way to be a part of this. So, anyways, by the way, everyone, we're on Instagram Live if you're listening and are realizing how all these people like Bunny and Carrie are chiming in. We're on Instagram Live.
You should join Instagram Live next time.
Yeah, at Lone Duck. So, anyways, now our trip is complete for the water portion. Now they take us to this beach, which in the advertisement was a secluded beach where they build you a fire and cook you. Oh, no, fast forward, rewind, my bad. So he cut up a couple of the lobster, and we caught some conch, like those shells.
Really?
Right? So they made a conch. And or conch, I don't know how you pronounce it, whatever.
Meh.
And lobster ceviche, fresh out of the ocean.
Really?
So while we're driving to the beach spot, he's making ceviche, and we're eating ceviche from what we literally just caught. Super sweet.
Yeah, that's cool.
So now we go to the secluded beach spot, right? Super romantic, awesome beach fire place. It's his parents' house on the beach.
It's
like, he just lives in the basement down by a river.
I get it. You do what you got to do.
He's starting a business. He's got a hustle, so he's got a beach spot.
Get it.
But it really was cool. It started to rain a little bit, so we were under the canopy of the, you know, the backyard, if you will, on the beach. It really was pretty. And out of coconut husks, he built a fire, and we cooked barracuda, red snapper, lobster, and ate unbelievable meal. We had rum punch, which apparently had rum in it first, and then we added rum, which they said we really didn't need to, but we did.
Trying to have a good time.
Dude, so good. Delicious meal all around, and it was like an all-day excursion. So the whole
day,
we were on the water and on this beach and just eating what we caught, you know, 2 hours before that barracuda was swimming in the ocean. Now it's over a fire, over a bed of vegetables and juices and unreal. So that was sweet. We did a cave tour where we saw some Mayan like remains from spiritual, what do they call them? Help me out. Sacrifices. Right?
Ooh,
so they
that's
would
a little aggressive.
It was. There were some skeletons.
Really?
It was super cool. 800 meters into the earth of this cave, we crawled and, like, swam.
Half a mile?
Yes, that would be half a mile. But you're, like, you know, you're taking this tour and you're seeing cool stuff. And you got a thing on your head, a headlamp on your head, and you're cruising through this cave. And then you get to you're not even at the end of the cave, but you're at the ruins, if you will.
Beginning of, yeah.
And you start seeing pottery from 600 A.D., 950 A.D., and then you climb up this embankment and hike even further in, and there's skeletons where they would sacrifice people to the underworld gods for, like, a better year next year, right? Super cool. That was
really
a neat trip.
On the short stick.
Yeah, 13-year-old girl. Gone. Sacrificed.
Hot. Carbon dating and all that good stuff they found out?
That's exactly what it was. Yep, carbon dating.
Huh.
What else did we do? Carrie, chime in. Feel free to chime in on Instagram Live. I forget.
She just said bunny for president. Big bunny fan.
She's a big bunny fan. I bet bunny likes that, too.
Oh, I'm sure he does. He hasn't
What else did we do? We did kite surfing. We learned how to kite surf.
Really?
Yep. That was harder than it looked, but they said, like, 3 days in or 3 sessions you would be able to get up on the board and, like, cruise. And
we only had salesman. One. Of course, we need to buy 2 more.
Right. Well, no, we really couldn't have done it. But it was fun. That was a neat experience. We ate great food. We drank some beer, drank some rum punch. Panty rippers. I did not know what these were. It's basically pineapple juice and rum, and that's a panty ripper. And I bet I drank 1,000 of them because they're not super strong, and I like pineapple juice. So it was like getting my vitamin C and...
I mean, that's just trying to be healthy.
I'm just trying to be healthy, everyone. So, really fun time, but now we're back. The trip was fantastic, but now we're back. And it's go time, grind time.
Yeah.
It's 2020 goals.
We're sneaking in a podcast because you got a lot going on.
But it's all good stuff. Like, it's nice to relax and unwind, and then I genuinely get back feeling ready to hit the ground running. So, why don't we... What are you looking at? What are you reading?
Bunny just said he just got back from New Orleans. And
oh, yeah. Bunny went to see Clemson lose.
Ouch. Good job, Bunny.
Yeah.
How'd that go for you?
Sucks to suck.
Yeah, well, be better. Should have eaten some gumbo while you were there. Made a little bit better.
Yeah.
Some gumbo.
That's all right. Anyways, let's get into some questions.
Well, so I want to know what... So we're going south. You're going south. Tomorrow, I guess, was my point on sneaking in a podcast. Thursday morning, you're going. Tomorrow because it's going to launch tomorrow. Nice. And what is the game plan over the next couple months? What are we doing? Where are you going to be? Because, surprise, we're going to be doing some offshore podcasting. I'm going to be calling in Bob, doing some
two-way
phone call.
Yeah, it'll be a little different
again. So, you know.
But we also have a great guest list for 2020, I'm fired up about. We've got some really big-name people in the industry that have agreed to be a part of our podcast. So, I'm just we're gonna have a good time. Yeah, we're going to have a good time with it. There's going to be some cool stuff here in the near future. But the goals for 2020, continue to bring podcasts to the world and help people. Continue to bring fun people on the podcast so you all listen how they got their start and training tips from them. You know, the kennel right now is pretty much max capacity. Like, I'm fully booked. And so it's not necessarily to grow that way, but I want to continue to improve as a dog trainer and train with guys who I believe are better than me and pick up tips from them. I want to bring more dogs to the Master National next year. We have, well, Safe, if anybody remembers, Safe, one of the dogs we got a master title on this summer. She had her litter of puppies, and they are all sold.
Everybody's healthy, though. It's good.
Everybody's healthy, yeah. They're 3 days old. She had four girls and three boys, and they're all sold and spoken for. Ember has been bred, the Chesapeake, who went to the Master National and got a plate.
When do we find out?
So that was what I was going to say. I don't know. I think it's like 2 or 3 weeks from now we can take her in for an ultrasound and find out if she is pregnant, and then we'll list the litter, and if people would like to get on a phenomenal Chesapeake Bay Retriever hunt test lines, like, these will be
real deal.
Yeah, I mean, if you really are wanting a Chesapeake and you want it to be a hunting dog and want to play hunt test games or think about it, this is the one to get. So, you know, stay tuned on Facebook and Instagram for that and the podcast, I'm sure. So that'll be exciting. Cruz should be coming into heat any time now, which is Brew's mother and the mother of our puppies from last year. And we are going to be breeding her again to a really nice male, good-looking dog, great family dog, and has picked up thousands of ducks. And so they're going to produce nice hunting companion, family dog, hunt test competitors.
Excuse me. Had a question come in about who the sire is for the possible Ember.
That letter. Dog's name is Hank. And
that's
Hank,
a good dog name.
Yeah. Hank is a master hunter, qualified all age, which is a field trial. And he's also the only Chesapeake in history to be best in show and have those same titles. So,
handsome devil.
So, yeah. So he's got looks and the capabilities to play big dog games as a retriever, and he hunts his butt off too. So good disposition, lot of drive. Ember has a lot of drive, but she's more like, I don't know, like level-headed.
Yeah, I was going to say.
She doesn't get overly crazy and stupid and make mistakes. She's very level-headed. So I think Hank, from what I hear, Hank has a lot more drive, and so we might get, not that he's crazy and makes mistakes, but
sure.
You can't if you're playing that level. But I'm saying he's going to up that drive a little bit, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to be a really nice combination of looks, wow, and performance. And Hank is from Next Generation Gun Dogs, which is where Ember's from. So Adam Levy is producing some really nice Chesapeakes. And so that's the breeding. It's going to be sweet. And Cruises will be nice, too. So if you're interested in a pup, that's coming down the line. I'm excited for those things to kind of be a part of 2020.
Yeah.
And then in April, we'll be home back in Central New York, mid-April-ish, and ready to rock up here again.
We had a question come through. Do you think we'll be able to breed Memphis? What's on the Memphis horizon?
Good question. Memphis, I don't know. That's just a crap answer. I don't know. I did some ultrasounds on her before Christmas, and everything, because she's 5 years old and has very irregular heat cycles.
Right.
And so she's not like a normal female that comes in once or twice. Like, twice a year is the average. Once a year is less average, but not uncommon to be like 9 months and 9 months and 9 months type of thing. And she's come in like maybe three times in her 5 years. So long story short, I just wanted to do a little check on things to see if things are working down there. And from the ultrasound, everything's good. So we actually did tweak her diet. She went from the 30-20 to the adult blend and is getting some herbal supplements to try and help hormone levels and see how that can maybe work. Is that Western medicine or Chinese medicine? I don't really know. Either way, we're just trying some different things to balance out hormones and see if that will spur a heat cycle. And if it does, then we will breed her. If it doesn't in a certain amount of time, I don't know what decision I'll make, whether I'll breed her and say Master National is out next year, because you got to play that. You know, she's going to be pregnant. That'll cut into competition time. It'll also could cut into like October. So I don't know. I hope we have puppies for month. I want one. I want everyone to have one.
Yeah.
But
sure. Real good dog.
Yeah, we got to see.
So that's awesome. We got a few busy couple months coming up and really getting back to the grind. So it'll be good. Dealer's Choice, you want to go after a couple questions we had come in over your
whatever
trip?
You want, bud.
Or, all right, well, why don't we do this then? Mumpy bird dog. I kind of hope your dog's name is Mumpy.
It's a great name.
Mumps.
My lovely lady Mumps.
Yeah, buddy. I have a bird crazy short hair that does not retrieve. Is it okay to let the drive propelled duck search now and force fetch later? He's a year and a half year old. What do you think? I read that word for word. So Mumpy.
I might need
my
a little,
Mumpy buddy.
Mumps. I might need more.
Follow up a little bit. But.
So he's crazy for birds.
Yep.
Hasn't done force fetch. And say it again. Read it again. I'm sorry.
That does not retrieve. So Mumpy the dog.
Whatever.
Is a crazy short hair that does not retrieve. Is it okay to let the drive propel the duck search and force fetch later? He's a year and a half year old. What would you do?
I would force fetch. You're asking me what I would do, so I'll tell
sure.
you.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I would continue to work on building retrieve drive, but duck search isn't a retrieve. It's go out and hunt. So does he have enough hunting desire to leave your side and swim? That's not really an easily innate thing for some of a dog like that, probably. So I would think force fetch and then force to water and pile work and things like that, where you're teaching him he doesn't have a choice, but then there's a positive to that, which is finding a bird. And he's bird crazy, so it'd be an easy, you know, uncomfortable, comfortable, and praise, or you know, the reward at the end for doing the work. So my answer would be I would keep training and maybe do what he's suggesting. I really don't even know what he's saying, but maybe I would work on like little duck searches.
Yeah.
So it's highly successful, short stuff where he's just hunting a swamp and finds multiple birds, and I'd salt and pepper it. So there's birds everywhere and he just wins it and goes out and finds them and make it impossible for him to fail. But in the meantime, I would build the blocks, right? Like I can maybe get there a different way, but if you build chains, though, and remember the chink in your armor podcast we were talking about, like that's not a chink in the armor. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
If the links that you've built are not in line, then there's going to be a weak one or a brittle one or not one at all. And some, as you progress and maybe have skipped a step, that's going to come back and bite you in the butt somewhere. So I would say, in my opinion, I would go through a force fetch and force program, teach it while you're still having fun doing these other things to have a base layer and progressing with that base layer over here of duck search. But I would incorporate force work in different sessions where now you can increase the difficulty of your duck search because he has to. And he's learned that it's positive too.
Sure. Another good one came through. When I send my Eric asks, when I send my dog on the back pile, she will spin in circles if I use pressure. She doesn't do it always, just kind of at random. Do you have any advice?
I've had this a few times. Man, that's hard. There's a few things, and I've also talked about this in previous podcasts. Training is a finesse game. So it's not like making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I tell you to, you know, if I just say you get two pieces of bread and peanut butter and jelly and you make, that's your peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you'd be like, well, you don't even know about bread. Well, how do you get bread? Well, you go to a store and you buy a loaf and you take two pieces of bread out of that loaf of bread, and you lay them open, and then you get a knife, and you open the peanut butter, and then you take the knife, and you scoop peanut butter, and then you slowly smear it. So I'm finessing how to make a peanut butter sandwich, right? I'm showing you, right? But that's training isn't that step-by-step and simple. This dog is probably spinning because it doesn't understand the pressure, is confused, and is creating a doing a behavior to escape pressure or whatever. The dog probably doesn't even know why it's doing it. There's no rhyme or reason other than it's doing it. So I guess that whole peanut butter thing was probably stupid, but my point is it's a finesse game, so I can't just give you a do this, it'll be fixed tomorrow, or do this and in a month it'll be fixed. What I've done that has been successful is simplify and move closer to the pile, and I've also nicked when they spin, right before they spin. So I will incorporate, depending on the dog's reactions to different sends, I might send with a firmer voice. I might send with a gentler voice. I might walk, take a step forward, and send the dog while I'm stepping forward, creating movement. And as I'm moving forward and saying back, that dog is already moving and going, and now all of a sudden that spin stops. Okay, so now for a couple days, I'm gonna do that. And it doesn't spin. And then I'm going to stand still and send it. And for three, it doesn't spin. And on the fourth, it spins. Okay, well, I'm going to start walking again.
Sure.
But I would say in simplest form, I would say get closer to your pile. I would maybe revisit a little bit of walking fetch and sending it like ladder fetch, where you've got your walking fetch, a bumper 5 feet from you, 10 feet from you, 15 feet from you, and you do ladder fetch. Okay, and stay on that for a little bit. I would have it be very black and white with a white pole and a white bucket or a white milk jug, white bumpers, short grass, black and white, that there's a pile of bumpers. It's not hidden. It's simple. These are things like I'm thinking in my head of, like, maybe he's got it in taller grass and the dog doesn't see bumpers.
Sure.
So if you put bumpers where he can see them, the dog will stop spinning. He might be doing all the perfect things that I'm just saying and stating, and the dog's still spinning because it's just doing it. So now let's say he's done all those perfect. White bucket, white pole, white bumper, short grass. He's gone back to walking fetch and gone back to ladder drill and short force to piles, and the dog still spins. Again, one thing I would do is maybe walk the dog towards the pile and say back with a little nick. I sometimes will intermix my pressure. So sometimes they get freebies. Sometimes they get nicks. Sometimes they get continuous. Sometimes you've got to give them straight continuous and just burn them through it.
Yeah.
Which that might make it worse. Like, it kind of has a higher likelihood of making it worse, but it also could fix it right away.
It depends on the dog.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's a finesse thing. Right, so if you're noticing that things are getting a little out of control here, stop. Go backwards. Take a deep breath. Do not lose your patience. Do not crank it up. Just, you're troubleshooting this issue, which is why you're asking me the question.
Yeah.
But I've had it, and I've fixed it, and some dogs will still, like, turn and look back at you, back, nick, back. Sometimes it's just verbal back instead of giving it a nick, and that's enough for it to turn its head back around and keep driving straight. And then, generally speaking, not even generally, every dog that I've had to do it doesn't do it anymore. So I guess I've fixed it. And through repetition, through building confidence, through them understanding what you're asking of them, that should get fixed.
We had a couple good duck search questions come through, and then we're going to jump into a couple that we had come through from while you were gone. But real quick, Josh was wondering if you thaw out birds before you do a duck search.
Thaw them out?
Yeah. Any reason why, or just you happen to have them
thawed?
That's
just what I do. I don't know. I mean, mine are thawed out. I would say there are times I've used live ducks, and I'll tape their wings and tape their bills and tape their feet, like basically fully shackled duck that can kind of bob around a little bit, which that can help get a dog's attention when it's searching and smelling, and all of a sudden it sees it, and it'll, you know, boom, and now it's a live bird, and it's even more excited, and that success raises up. So I've done that. I don't do it every time. Some people I know do. I think that's unnecessary. I definitely salt and pepper the area, so if they get far enough and they try hard enough, they're going to win the bird and be successful. And then I would have it, I wouldn't have it be rock hard, solid, frozen, straight from a freezer. I would have it be mildly thawed out, if not fully thawed out.
Are you ready for the segue? Because you talked about duck drive and getting them geared up for this. Next question, does practice duck search lead to less drive or a little more drive? And does any of this negatively affect real life hunting situations? People are wondering about, like, if I'm doing a duck search, does this make people make their dog not care about it because they got to take 20 minutes to try and find the duck? Or is it something that really, like, cranks it up? Like, how do you deal with that sort of thing?
Okay. I don't know how that's a segue.
I don't know. It made sense in my head.
It did. Dude, you heard my peanut butter thing earlier. That made sense in my head. And then after
right. Listen, we all win and we all lose.
Yeah. I generally still will win first year losing.
Yeah.
But who's keeping track?
Well, me. But what do you think about that?
All right. So I'm going to rephrase the question because I think I know what they're getting at, but I don't think it was clear how you said it. I think these people are worried that a duck search, which could be very difficult and boring, would hinder a dog's drive to, like, actually do it. Like, they could kind of care less. I don't know the answer. I'm trying to rack my brain to give a good answer, but I think if a dog is likes to hunt, likes to find birds, and I don't put pressure. There's only, with my duck search, like how I've done it, and again, I'm not a NAVDA pointer professional. I've done a few, and I've been successful at it. I've just taken what I've learned in the retriever world and molded it into a pointing world and learned from some really good pointing guys and then said, that doesn't work. Like, I don't like that. I'm going to tweak this and pull this and push this. What people have to remember is force work isn't necessarily a negative. It's just teaching them that they have to do it and that the positive on the other end is awesome. So, like, hey, that wasn't super great. Oh, this was? All right. Oh, that wasn't super great. Oh, this was? And then, oh, this was? Oh, this was? And all of a sudden, they're like, hell yeah, I'm just going to do it. And so I'm building confidence and strength and drive and willingness to please me and work hard and find that reward at the end of the tunnel. And so to me, I haven't had a dog yet that hated duck search and hated doing it and that it took drive away, because all my other avenues of training, throwing a lot of marks, running in fields and pointing pigeons and chucker and pheasants and whatever, has been a lot of positives. And then all of a sudden, holy cow, if I stay out here, I'm successful and I find this awesome duck. Like, maybe for this person, that question would be great to have a live shackle duck out there. And that dog's like, woo-wee, a live bird, bang, I got it.
That might up the ante.
It could. Now, I've seen some dogs who are more nervous about live birds.
True.
And it freaks them out. So you got to figure that out, right? Like, I don't know your dog, but I would say most of them, it'll increase drive and increase excitement, not take away. So the only time in a duck search I put pressure on a dog is if they come back to me and quit.
Right.
So in a duck search for NAVDA, they've got to leave your side and hunt a pond, stick pond, whatever, and hunt it intelligently, cover good ground, and make bigger looping, you know, action across the pond to try and find a duck that you don't know where it is. You can't tell them where to go. They just have to have the instinct to go out and hunt and swim. Generally cross the pond all the way across and, like, just increase their search as they go.
Right.
Okay. If, let's say, Huey, for an example, who we did the UT and got prize one, perfect score, no big deal. If he ever would come back to me and, like, hunt my shoreline and come near me, I'd burn and put pressure back into the water.
Right.
Back, back, back.
So he knew that if it was not cool, it was uncomfortable, and I don't want to be around.
And that, right. And then he'd shoot back into the water, pressure's off, and I'd give him a real gentle good dog.
Yep.
Because if I was like, oh, good dog, attaboy, he might turn around and spin at me and be like, what? Oh, I'm done? Okay.
Yeah.
So right. I just would be, hey, good dog. And he'd keep swimming out, and he'd stay out there, and then he'd find a duck. There's other times where I've, like, when he wasn't looking, I'd throw a rock out further towards the duck, and he'd see the splash, and he'd drive, and he'd find it. But that's after a while, right? Like, I'm just trying to help him be successful. In a duck search, for me, it's all about success and them knowing no matter how hard or long or challenging this is, I'm going to find this thing.
Yeah. We had another really good question from Raymond.
Everybody loves Raymond.
And Raymond has a 12-week-old chocolate lab puppy, I believe you said, and he's been throwing bumpers down a hallway with no distractions, and it's been awesome, and the puppy's all about it. Raymond goes outside, and it just does not happen. Puppy gets distracted and does not bring it back.
Okay.
Is there anything you can do?
So this will be our last question, because I still got to pack more.
you got to move.
Yeah, I got to move. So this is a good question, and it's actually a very common one. People, and I was this way with Buck. I remember getting Buck and worried at his youth. Is he at where he should be at 12 weeks? Is he at, should he be further? Why isn't he doing this? Why is he doing this? And I would really worry, and then it turned out at a year old, he was doing everything above and beyond what I ever thought imaginable. So what I would tell Raymond is your pup's 12 weeks. Keep working inside in the hallway, building that drive. Make sure in an instant like this, I've said it a million times in podcasts, but a lot of people will steady their puppy up and hold them back and, you know, make them be steady. That's, you want to build drive. This is a baby. In a real, if we were to take it in human words, this is like taking a 2.5-year-old kid and being like, why isn't it reading yet? How come this thing, you know, can barely say words? Well, because it's a 2.5-year-old child. It's saying mama and juice and Belgian
right.
beers.
Not
see
everybody's
how I brought that back?
You know,
see how I brought that back?
That's a good segue.
Yeah. Albert's kid probably did.
God, Albert's just
Albert,
a winner.
He's probably listening to this podcast.
He's probably laughing in your face. Albert, please leave us a review on Instagram. And I don't know, man. Why don't you come on the show?
Hey, Albert. No, anyways, my point is, Raymond, my advice is to relax with the pup, enjoy him, build drive, maybe get a duck wing out of the freezer and tape it to the bumper, maybe try a squeaky toy, just anything to get that dog fired up, and do it in the hallway a little bit more. And then take it out to the yard and do one. And just, and that one, for 2 minutes, I'm getting it chasing that bumper and really, really getting excited and fired up for that bumper, and then give it a short toss and then big time praise back, waving another toy and getting him to have fun and come back. And just when the puppy goes outside, you're just so, it's so engaged with you that he's not going to wander off and sniff something else, because you have so much enthusiasm in your voice and your body language, and it just, it's ready. And I bet you in a month, you're going to send me a message and be like, hey, he's doing great now, because in a month, he'll be a month older and you're still working and you're trying, and all of a sudden it's going to click. And the puppy's light bulb in his little brain is going to go off and be like, ooh, I think I like retrieving in the house and the yard. And then now you're like, hey, he hasn't swam yet. And I'll be like, hey, Raymond, he's still only 3 months old, you know, 3.5 months old. You know, he will build that drive. So my goal for everybody is build, retrieve, drive, teach, have fun, use some treats, high-pitched voice. Everything is positive. And let your puppy develop as they go. But that doesn't mean put them in a crate and pretend nothing ever is going to happen. You still got to work at it and mold them. But, you know, those are my suggestions. I think he's going to be just fine. Just build that drive and have fun and use some treats, and you'll be good as gold, Raymond. All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode. Be sure to click the old 5-star review, subscribe, tell a friend, tag us in some Instagram stuff @LoneDuck. Until next week, thank you for tuning in. Hey, do me a solid. If you enjoy the show, if you enjoy our Instagram, if we've helped you at all, join patreon.com/loneduckoutfitters. If you do it before September of 2023, you're going to enter to win a hunt with me and Kevin and a bunch of other Patreon members down in Missouri. We're going to smack some ducks, have some fun, do a seminar with our dogs, and have a great time. But jump into patreon.com/loneduckoutfitters. Links in the description, and join the community that helps me help you help your dog.
Hey, listeners, Nick Larson here, host of the Birdshot Podcast. As fans of this show, you may be interested in the conversations on the Birdshot Podcast, where we discuss all things upland hunting, from upland birds and their habitat and conservation to the shotguns, bird dogs, and gear used to pursue them. Whether you're a seasoned upland hunter or just getting started and wanting to learn more, I interview a wide range of guests, each with their own unique perspective and valuable experience to share. If you're on the hunt for more upland hunting conversation, please consider subscribing to the Birdshot Podcast today. We'll be right back.